If Islam is a religion of peace, why is there so much death, destruction, and terrorism associated with it? I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative, biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
You're listening to me, Dr. Fred, in another episode of Study, Grow, Know. And if you've been following along, you know that we're in the middle of a study called Rome Rising. And Rome Rising is based on a book I wrote of the same name, where I highlight the four empires or beasts in Daniel chapter 2. And right now we've been dealing with the Roman Empire and the changes that it has gone through before it finally went belly up in the late 1800s and actually the early 1900s, as we learned last time. And what's fascinating about this is that when we see the fourth beast in Daniel chapter 2, the feet of the statue that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed are still in existence. So the feet representing the final phase of this morphed beast, this morphed empire, Jesus comes and crashes into the feet of the statue. So obviously there's part of an empire or something like an empire that was reminiscent of the Roman Empire existing, alive and well. And Jesus destroys it at his return. We've been talking about Islam, and I believe that Islam is very much a part of this fourth empire. We know that the Ottoman Empire, the Turkish Empire, which was Islamic, was a caliphate that extended all the way to Spain. And it had a great impact on life in those days, and it essentially took over and extended or expanded in various directions the remaining eastern leg of the Roman Empire. Now, in my book, I talk about this, and I mention the fact that what's really fascinating is that today, Islam is getting a great deal of forgiveness. It's a free pass. We just recently had a beheading, and an attempted beheading. So there was one death and an attempt to behead another person by a man named Alton Nolan. And he is a convert to Muslims, to Islam. He became a Muslim, and he attended the mosque of the Islamic Society of Greater Oklahoma City. Now, I spoke with Saad Muhammad, one of the leaders in that mosque, and he said that he did attend that mosque, and basically they never saw any signs of violence in him. And had they seen such violence, they would have had to do whatever they could to get rid of it. And that kind of thing. You know, it was all very PC type of discussion. Well, as it turns out, and this was brought to the fore by Pamela Geller in a recent article of hers at Atlas Shrugs, what has been brought out is that that particular mosque has been teaching that jihad against infidels is necessary. And she got that information from a person who used to be a Muslim, used to be part of that mosque, and still only lives about 10 minutes away. And he has detailed many of the things that have occurred there. But what is more fascinating, I guess, or at least as fascinating, is that the media in covering this event basically is just saying that this is workplace violence. This has nothing to do with religious ideology. And that's the kind of free pass that Islam is getting. Whenever there is a mass assault from someone, immediately the media tries to portray that individual as a right-wing extremist, a Christian. And they have no problem doing that until, of course, more truth comes to the fore, and then they have to backtrack. And then, of course, when they can't do that anymore, then they simply ignore it and move on to something else. They're very, very quick to point out what they believe to be Christians attacking society, whether through some type of Sandy Hook event or something else. But it always turns out that these people who do these things, by and large, are on the left. They're Democrats. They're leftists. It's just simply what is, but the media won't acknowledge that. And just like they're not acknowledging the fact that this person was a jihadist and killed a woman after trying to convert her to Islam. And the real tragedy here, aside from lives lost and continue to be lost, and folks, here in America, we need to really stand up and take notice. Christians, how are you going to protect your family? What precautions are you taking? Certainly, we need to trust the Lord. That's obvious. But there are certain things that we also need to do so that we don't put the Lord to the test. We all need to eat, for instance. Do you just expect food to show up in your pantry? No, you go actually go out and buy that food. You have a job that gives you money that allows you to go out and buy food so that you can bring that food home and put it in your pantry so that when you need food, it's there. It doesn't just show up automatically. And I believe as Christians, we have that same type of obligation today to ensure that we are doing everything we can so that we cannot be accused of putting the Lord to the test. But the problem here is that many continue to believe that Islam is a religion of peace. Yet how can this be when there is so much violence and brutality associated with Islam? You know, and I've heard many people on the left compare what Islam did years ago. Unfortunately, they're still doing it. But what they did hundreds of years ago as likening it to the Christian Crusades where people were killed if they didn't receive Jesus, etc., etc. Well, the Crusades were very, very nuanced. There were numerous reasons they took place. But let's put that aside for a minute. That was a period in the very early history of Christendom. I won't say the church, but I will say Christendom. That period passed, and now we're living in times since then where Christianity, by and large, is peaceful. And Christians do more for this world than any atheists that I know of. But it's interesting how the left will try to confuse that by saying, well, gee, Christians did this. Well, even if that's true, and again, the reasons for the Crusades vary, even if that's true, it stopped. Since the inception of Islam in the 600 ADs, 700 ADs, it hasn't stopped. So we're talking of hundreds and more hundreds of years of brutality, viciousness, slaughtering. And it's continuing today. So we need to dispense with this idea that Christianity was of the same thing. One of the things that it seems necessary to point out is not the actual religion itself, because people, as I said, will point to the Crusades as example. But instead, what we need to be focusing on is the individual associated with each religion, the founder, if you will. Those are the people that need to be highlighted. Now, when we look to Jesus, we learn what type of a person he was as he lived among people on this earth. And we do the same thing with the birth and origin of Islam through Muhammad. Then we're able to compare those two founders to one another. What did they teach? What did they believe? How did they live? From here, we can rightly make a decision about who was the more peaceful individual. Was it Jesus or was it Muhammad? Forget the followers. Forget the followers for now. Set aside all Christians. Set aside all Muslims, whether they're supposedly peaceful or not. Set them aside. Let's just concentrate on Jesus, comparing him with Muhammad. Now, if we take this tact with people, it can generally help peel back the layers of each religion. However, you know, some individuals are going to refuse to approach the subject honestly anyway. They prefer to stick with people who call themselves Christians, and they prefer not to deal with the reality of the founders. Well, now, I ran an article with this approach on my blog page, and my blog is www.studygrownow.com, and I highlighted it through Twitter. I was almost immediately attacked by one Muslim who felt I was filled with bigotry and simply publishing the article as a form of discrimination. Well, the problem for that person, though, was that the article contained factual information about Muhammad that portrayed him as a savage warrior. Jesus did not carry a sword. He never physically retaliated when someone got physical with him. He never killed anyone. In fact, Jesus never married, and he certainly never had sexual relations outside of marriage. The Old Testament law is filled with admonitions and laws against that. But Muhammad did carry a sword. He robbed caravans and later, with his followers, slaughtered villages of people, killing men, women, and children. He married a young girl of 9 by the name of Aisha. He actually married her when she was 6, but he waited until 9 before he consummated the marriage. He had many wives. Now, when people are faced with this information, the first thing they will say is, what about King David? Or they will point to someone else in the Bible. But they are missing the point, and they're deliberately missing the point. Because I am comparing Jesus with Muhammad. That's the point. Not comparing Muhammad with David, or later on, Paul, or someone else entirely. We are going head-to-head, founder of Christianity with founder of Islam. Don't let people sidetrack you. Don't let people sidetrack you. King David was simply a servant of the Most High God, and he had his mistakes. Big ones. Tragic ones. Now, based on the actuality of the two founders, who was more peaceful, Jesus or Muhammad? That's the question. If Muhammad carried a sword, robbed and killed people, especially those considered to be infidels or non-Muslims, then who would be the better Muslim today? Who is actually better at following the path of Muhammad? Would that be the person who says they are a peaceful Muslim and gets along with people, or the one who also does what Muhammad did? Now, the answer should be clear if people are willing to be honest. The person who most emulates Muhammad as the founder of Islam is the Muslim who endeavors to live as Muslim, as Muhammad did. It's really a no-brainer, yet people still debate and attempt to rewrite history and redefine Muhammad. Should we then take some of Muhammad's followers who are well-known in history and say, oh, but look how they live. Oh, but look what they did. No, we're focusing on Jesus versus Muhammad. There's a great deal of money being spent by Islamic factions to whitewash history. They want people to believe that Islam truly is a religion of peace. Yet there are so many examples today of the fact that Islam is not a religion of peace, it's difficult to hide them all. Now, at the very least, it can be said that not all Muslims have received the memo about how peaceful Islam supposedly is. We need to look no further than Great Britain, France, the Netherlands, Germany, Belgium, and many other parts of Europe and Asia today. There is tremendous turmoil in these areas because Muslims, rather than adopting and assimilating into a new culture of their adopted country, they demand that they be given special status that allows them to ignore and avoid the laws of that nation so that they can follow Sharia. It becomes absolutely absurd trying to meet the constant demands of Islam in a civilized world because Islam, by its own nature, is not civilized. Now, this is why, in large part, the toes from that statue are mixed iron with clay. These two materials don't mix. There's no way they can mix. And that's from Daniel 2. You can cover an iron pillar in clay and carve a design in it. It will hide the iron underneath and make the outside of the structure nice and attractive and decorative. But it's not the same as mixing the two substances. They don't mix. They cannot be mixed. And such is Islam with the rest of the world. Now, that's our show for today, and it went by rather quickly. I want to thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope you'll join me again next time. But until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.